Good morning, everybody, on this lovely September morning. And I want to send a special welcome to anyone coming here for the first time. And for any of you who may be joining on the webcam and from afar. And also welcome to any of you who picked this up as a recording later. My name is Peter White, a regular member of this church for some years. We're very proud to boast an open pulpit here where a member can volunteer to lead the service and give the minister a week off, hopefully take the congregation safely through for the next hour. Today, they are taking a chance on me. Can I encourage you to offer a prayer today, please, for Joanne Troughton, Keith's wife, who is very unwell and would appreciate your support. Come into this place of peace and let his silence heal your spirit. Come into this place of memory. Let his history warm your soul. Come into this place of prophecy and power and let his vision change your heart. I will now light the chalice. I very much like this moment of turning on the light as a welcome to us all and sending a light to seek and to explore. We come together this morning to remind one another to rest for a moment on the forming edge of our lives, to resist a headlong tumble into the next moment until we claim for ourselves awareness and gratitude. Taking the time to look into one another's faces and see their communion, the reflection of our own eyes, this house of laughter and silence, memory and hope is hallowed by our presence together. Can we now sing our first hymn, number 159? This is a friendship blessing from John O'Donoghue. May you be blessed with good friends. May you learn to be a good friend to yourself. May you be able to journey to that place in your soul where there is great love, warmth, feeling, and forgiveness. May this change you. May it transfigure that which is negative, distant or cold in you. May you be brought into the real passion, kinship, and affinity of belonging. May you treasure your friends. May you be good to them, and may you be there for them. May they bring you all the blessings, challenges, truth, and light that you need for your journey. May you never be isolated, but may you always be in the gentle nest of belonging with your soul friend. And now can I welcome Alison to give us her story, please.
Morning, everybody. I worked in Dublin City Council for over 40 years, and I was very lucky to have made some lifelong friends along the way. Over the span of a lifetime, we shared in each other's life experiences, births, marriages, deaths, the highs and the lows, and so much more in between. Some of us retired lifers meet weekly on Thursdays for what is like a long extended tea break. We call them our Thursday therapy sessions. One of my friends has had it tougher than most and never seems to get a break from life's challenges. One Thursday, I asked her how she was doing. She replied that she had had the best day ever that week. Oh, I said, surprised, and what had happened? Nothing, she said, nothing. That's what was so good about it. I had no agenda, no hospital appointments, no waiting on a phone call with good or bad news, no taxiing, no visiting. It was just an ordinary, routine day. Her troubles hadn't gone away, but that day felt like her own, with less darker clouds looming overhead. I said, the days we take for granted, but cherish all the more as we get older. This friend has a very deep faith, which I know has helped her and sustained her over the years. She said that she felt that on that day, God was in the house. Now I'm going to pass you over to Gavin, who's going to play the song Days Like This by Van Morrison. This is a cover version by a young Irish singer-songwriter, Dermot Kennedy, and I hope you enjoy it.
When it's not always raining, there'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. When everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this. When you don't need to worry, there'll be days like this. When no one's in a hurry, there'll be days like this. When you don't get betrayed by that old Judas kiss. My mama told me there'll be days like this. When you don't need an answer, there'll be days like this. When you don't meet a chancer, there'll be days like this. And all the parts of the puzzle start to look like they fit you. Oh, I must remember there'll be days like this. When everyone is up front and they're not playing tricks in. When you don't have no freeloaders out to get their kicks in. When it's nobody's business the way that you want to live, I just have to remember there'll be days like this. When no one steps on my dreams, there'll be days like this. When people understand what I mean, there'll be days like this. When you ring out the changes of how everything is. Oh, my mama told me there'll be days like this. Oh, my mama told me there'll be days like this. Oh, my mama told me there'll be days like this.
Thank you, Alison. And now, Kai, I have a children's story for children of all ages. And if anybody wants to come and look over my shoulder at the storybook, please do. I'm getting a little help from my two grandchildren. Okay, can you hear me okay? So this is a story about a traveler boy. And travelers, you might know, most of us do know, are groups of people who don't have a fixed home, but they move around, they live in caravans, their school changes from week to week in different places. So this is about a traveller boy. When I was small, one of my friends at school had a birthday party. I wasn't invited, even though I was very friendly with the birthday boy. That was the first time I realised that some people look down on travellers. It was a horrible feeling. My parents were just as upset as I was. But that night, my father came and sat at the end of my bed and he told the story of a slug, a snail, and a crow. So once upon a time, and maybe it was not as long ago as you might think, there were no snails in the world, only slugs. The slugs live wild and free, with no shell to bind them, but they had each other, and they watched out for one another. At night, as they slept, the slugs were shaded by the kind leaves and shrubs of the land. And by day, they roamed slowly along the highways and byways of their miniature world. They did not always know what direction they were going in, but they knew they were on their way to where they needed to be. Life was hard at times for slugs, from the bitter wind of bite of winter and the fresh days of the coming sun. But they were happy as they explored the world. One day, two slugs, brothers, were making their way by a tall oak tree, and they were getting some nourishment from the leaves of a tree beside, when they came across an old crow pecking at the forest floor for worms. The crone was known for her trickery, but also for her wisdom and her age-earned knowledge of the world. "Hello," crooned the old crow. "Hello, old crow," said the brothers. "What are you doing here?" said the crow. "Oh, we're just passing through." "And where's your home?" said the crow. The elder slug said, "What do you mean?" baffled by the question. "Home? Where's your home?" said the crow, suspicious of the two slug brothers. "I don't understand," said the younger slug brother, who didn't understand. "What do you mean by home?" Your home," said the crow. "Mine is the nest woven from the branch, twig, and grass up in the tree. Where is yours?" The elder slug looked up and he saw the old crow's nest up in the tree. "Asher, we've nothing like that." The old crow giggled and flapped her wings in laughter. "No home, no home. You should make one." The younger slug looked up and felt embarrassed. He turned his head towards the moist ground and said in a low whisper that he would build a home. Shortly after that, the slugs and the crows parted ways. That night, as the slug rested beneath the stars, the younger brother made plans for a new home. He would weave it, he decided, from the road he had travelled on. Made strong by the stone on the earth, it would be round and winding too, like the roads he had travelled and the journeys he had taken. "I might call myself a snail now," said the younger slug when he had made his house, "for I have made my home and I'm no longer a slug." As time went on, the younger brother, with his home upon his back, and the elder brother with no shell, began to feel strained and strange towards each other. "He doesn't understand me," said the younger brother, thinking how odd it was for his brother not to have a home. "He must think he's better than me," thought the elder slug, looking at the well-crafted home that rested on his brother's back. On the days that followed, the brothers found less and less to speak of and hold on to in common, hiding behind their strangeness with each other. One day the brothers returned again to the oak tree and met the crow. This time she was sitting peacefully. "Hello, brothers, how are you?" "Fine," said the two brothers, in tune with each other. "Well now," said the old crow, "haven't you changed?" "Yes," said the younger brother, "I have become a snail." "And you have a house now, young one," said the crow, seeing the shell upon the young slug's back. "And where is your home, elder slug?" she asked, noticing that only one brother had a shell. "Here," the elder brother said, "all around me, the world is my home." The old crow laughed and fluttered her wings. "And so it is, slug, and so it is." That night, the crow returned to her nest, and the two brothers went along their way, still cautious of each other, but noticing once again that they liked each other and they liked to do things together. "So we could learn a lot from the slugs, snails and crows, couldn't we?" said my father, as he turned off the light and left us to dream our dreams.
I want to read now a piece from the writings of the monk Thich Nhat Hanh. It's called Emptiness. Emptiness means to be full of everything, but empty of a separate existence. Imagine for a moment a beautiful flower, That might be an orchid or a rose or even a simple little daisy growing beside a path. Looking into a flower, we can see that it is full of life. It contains soil, rain, sunshine. It is also full of clouds and oceans, minerals. It is full of space and time. In fact, the whole cosmos is present in this one little flower. If we took out just one of these non-flower elements, the flower would not be there. Without the soil's nutrients, the flower could not grow. Without rain and sunshine, the flower would die. And if we removed all of the non-flower elements, there would be nothing substantive left that we could call a flower. So our observation tells us that the flower is full of the whole cosmos, while at the same time, it doesn't have a separate self-existence. The flower can't exist by itself. We too are full of so many things, and yet empty of a separate self. Like the flower, we contain earth, water, air, sunlight and warmth. We contain space and consciousness. We contain our ancestors, our parents and our grandparents, education, food and culture. The whole cosmos has come together to create the wonderful manifestation that we are. If we were to remove any of these non-us elements, we would find there's no us left. I was going to give a moment of thoughts to reflect on a bit of that, but I omitted to encourage us all to sing our second hymn, which I might do now. Thank you for catching up with me. Just to finish off what I was reading about Thich Nhat Hanh's reading on emptiness, and he was saying that, like the flower, we too contain earth, water, air, sunlight and warmth. We contain space and consciousness. We contain our ancestors, our grandparents and our parents, education and food and culture. The whole cosmos has come together to create the wonderful manifestation that we are. If we remove any of those non-us elements, we will find that there's no us left. So we might just think it for a little while in silence and be grateful that we find ourselves now as well as we are, that we were created here in this peaceful place by very good fortune and not in a war-torn place. And that we got the loving care and effort of our parents and our grandparents and the wider society, and that we want to continue their example of giving care. I invite us to think on that for a few moments, and Josh will finish with a little bit of music. why this house is important to me. The last two words of this phrase got lost on the poster, but it's why this house is important to me. You will know that this address are my thoughts, and only I am to blame if they cause offence. My first wife, Carmel, brought me in here. She had been confused and upset by the Twin Towers explosions around 9/11 in 2001, and by the anti-West violence, and by the aggression of the West against Iraq and South America and other places. She was chatting with Chris Hudson, a former member here, and now a minister in Northern Ireland, and he recommended to her that the attitude of this church may very well help. She had been coming here for a few Sundays and enjoyed it, and then she suggested that I might come along. You'd like it, she said. At the first service I attended, Bill Darlison welcomed everyone here, particularly strangers, and he described the variety of attendees here that day, from very different religious backgrounds, including some practicing Catholics and Protestants, some non-practicing people, some atheists, and some don't-knows. He explained Paddy McElroy's sculpture over here, showing the emblems of maybe 15 religions sitting happily together and representing the all-together attitude of this church. I was won over. It was so important to me to be part of an open group of people of all colours and shapes and makes. It is not easy to describe the focus or thrust of this organisation, or what gets done, or what will get done. After trying to give a title to its focus for some time, I have recently come up with the idea that the focus of this church is kindness. I'm proud that love is the doctrine of this church and the quest of truth is its sacrament. I also think that we very much do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This elaborates on our attitudes of equality and humility and inclusivity. We have been introduced here to other faiths and faith leaders, such as the Dalai Lama. He says, "My religion is very simple. My religion is kindness." And he also said, as one of 7 billion people in the world, everyone has a responsibility to develop a happier world. We need greater concern for the well-being of others. In other words, kindness and generosity. Gandhi said, the very first step in non-violence is that we cultivate in our daily life, between ourselves, truthfulness, humility, tolerance, and loving kindness. It is difficult to describe the pattern of services led by Bill Darlison, and then by Bridget, and then the number of visiting elders, and our own members and visitors. And I have been here for some outstanding addresses. Often they would take on stories originating in the various scriptures of Muslim, Christianity, Hinduism, Judaism, American Indian, and others. Speakers sometimes share their spiritual journey with us, how they pray, how they meditate and get by. They can encourage us to live an authentic and responsible life. Maybe the pattern of addresses here can be named The Art of Living, a name taken from the book written by Vietnamese monk Thich Nhat Hanh. I'm very proud to be supporting this church, which was instituted by our in Unitarian forebears from Strand Street and Temple Bar, etc., since the 1800s, as Rory Delaney has shared some of their history with us. And I'm proud of the huge commitment from a small congregation then that we inherit this very fine premises and this very fine institution. Unitarians back then were persecuted by church and state establishment and pressed to support current Christian philosophies such as the Trinity. They fought hard to leave us with this independent forum for free speech and religious practice. We have a loose association with other Unitarian and similar churches, but we effectively stand alone in a democracy. I think coming into this church is a bit like coming into a forest with its quiet, comfort, stillness, and shelter, where we are welcome in to new insights and discoveries. We have the opportunity in here to discuss the ways of the world from a moral point of view, but we cannot hope to have any important influence to make an impact. We can live our lives well with kindness and generosity. Martin Luther King said, "There is no such thing as a small act of kindness. Every act creates a ripple with no logical end." Most of us grew up with some moral guidance and background from schools and churches. Recent times have seen church institutions become disrespected through their failings on many issues, in matters of sex, democracy, power, gender, and then losing that moral influence, and I think at great loss to our societies. Politicians and world leaders in recent times also seem much less principled in caring for the common man and smaller societies, and with regard to sharing wealth and resources, and making little effort to deal with global warming and the looming crises that brings. We have seen recently how one of the greatest nations has adopted the motto, "Make America Great Again," blatantly favouring the rich and powerful at the expense of poorer races and societies. Are not the world's superpowers charged with creating peace and progress for all? This leaves me feeling very apprehensive about the future for our children, and for our grandchildren in particular. That this house focuses on kindness and generosity and living an authentic and responsible life is such a happy escape from ugly world politics. In contrast to those worries, every Sunday, the children's stories draw us into a fairy tale world, expressing optimism of good over bad and encouraging youth. I can understand these tales, I can believe them, and I laugh with them, and I also can be encouraged to go and save the world. And that the services includes for one of us to read a story or a poem, or for all of us to belt out hymns, making each of us an active part in the life of this group, surprising us and engaging us and uplifting us as we go. The church has been a splendid host to wedding ceremonies for gay and straight weddings, where the married couple can shape the ceremony with our minister, treasuring their important day. Maura and I were married here in this place, and our families are charmed by the service and the place. The marriage is still holding. The christening service treasured the infant, who would be without sin or without blemish, and encourages the infant to mind our world for us in due course. The funeral services have been a particular strength, so caring of the bereaved and of the family and friends, and where friends can express their loss and feel that we have respected and honoured the departed one. In all of these, Bridget and her assistants have been giving amazing support. It took some time for me to commit to going for coffee after the service. It is probably normal that there are feelings of fear and shyness to join that many of us feel. But I really enjoy being amongst friends where we were happy to share moments of chat and empathy and friendly connection with no ulterior motive, and extending the kindness for a little longer. Amen. And now, can I ask for us to sing our third hymn, number 1, "May Nothing Evil Cross Our Door." Our notices. Can I thank, first of all, everyone who's helped to put the service together today. our reader Alison, and the welcomers Emer and Grania, and the flowers from Jane, and coffee from Maliki, Emer, and Maura later on, and thanking also Ayla and Josh and Gavin for help in doing all this. Please join us for tea and coffee downstairs after the service. Pam leads our weekly service of reflection in the church every Wednesday from 1:05 to 1:35. These sessions can also be accessed live on our webcam. The book club is reading The Dance Tree by Kieran Millwood Hargrave this month. They will gather on the last Wednesday of the month in the vestry, and Alison can give details. Our Harvest Thanksgiving lunch will be on Sunday, the 5th of October next, directly after the harvest service. Everybody is invited to share the food and enjoy the company and conversation. Diners are asked to make a small donation, which will be sent to Christian Aid. Volunteers are needed to provide food, prepare the room, and serve and clean up afterwards. Please let us know if you're planning to bring food and talk to Bridget or Alison about the details. Thank you. The Seeking Paradise reading group continues on Thursday, the 2nd of October at 7 p.m. in the church here. The Unitarian Walking Group's next ramble is on Saturday, the 11th of October, through St. Anne's Park and Dollymount Beach. The group will meet up at 10:30 at the Olive Room in St. Anne's Park, and with more details from Marcus or Maeve. A membership service will be held in November. Anybody who has been attending regularly for about a year and who would like to sign the membership book, please see Gavin or Bridget. If you wish to receive a weekly email with news and events happening in our community, please give your contact details to Josh. We have a new Auskult magazine outside. Paul always excels, so please help yourself to a copy. Now Josh wants to say a word.
Hiya folks, three really short notices, mostly about next week. The choir is going to be singing at the carol service. The carol service is just around the corner. The choir are always looking for new members, and if anyone feels like they haven't been approached by me, but they'd love to sing in the choir, we're particularly looking for men this year, but we will gladly hear from women as well. We would love to have new singers in the choir. That's the first thing. Second thing is, I had mentioned over the last couple of months about a hymn book singing panel session for next week, but the Harvest Services dinner is now on next week. That won't happen next week, so it will happen in due course. And finally, myself and Mark Hutchinson, who work creating reflections as Mind Travels, are putting on a little performance on Saturday evening this week at 7:30. It's going to take the form of a single reflection going right the way. It's about an hour and a quarter. We think it's rather nice. We've heard from people who think it's rather nice as well. So that'll be on. Tickets are on sale. It is a performance rather than a service. But it kind of straddles the lines between the two, and we hope you enjoy it. So that's Saturday night, Mind Travels.
Hi. If you felt that the service about kindness and generosity was relevant to you, here's your opportunity. I'm begging. A friend of the church who has attended here occasionally and does, has a brother who is a secular humanist doctor who's had to go into hiding in Afghanistan because of the work he's done with women and children. His brother has set up a community support group to try and get his brother a visa into Ireland. The cut-off date is Monday week, when he's got to have raised 10,000 euro. He's currently raised as 1,100, so there's a long way to go. This is not the church work. We, as you know, incredibly successfully got in Angela and her family in. But it is associated with the church, and if you felt you could spare a few quid, I'm going to ask Josh, if you could put the link into this week's email, good man. There is a GoFundMe page. If you want to ask any further details, Trish Webb Duffy and myself are on the committee, and we'll be able to tell you a bit more.
And now I'd like to invite us to sing the final hymn, number 346, Come Sing a Song With Me. Deep peace of the running wave to you. Deep peace of the flowing air to you. Deep peace of the quiet earth to you. Deep peace of the shining stars to you. Deep peace of the infinite peace to you.